This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Audacy podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Audacy app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And there's a lot to talk about. I think one of the most important things, David, is this meeting in Washington with President Donald Trump and Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky in an effort to try to find a way to broker peace between Ukraine and Russia. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting yesterday because the president was asked, will you call Zelensky a dictator? He said, I don't remember that. So a week goes by, but there they are together, and hopefully for peace, something will be able to be worked out and developed.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are looking at that and just, you know, the people on both sides of the political aisle, and many have concerns about it one way or another. And of course, you know, we're not old enough to remember the phrase peace in our time, but we certainly know what that refers back to as well.
Yeah, and hopefully it will gain some real traction and bring peace to Ukraine. And then where do we go from here? Every day there are so many different avenues. I mean, yesterday Marty Griffin talked to Senator John Fetterman to talk about the efforts to work together in a bipartisan way for the good of all the citizens of the country. It was a fascinating conversation. I highly recommend that if you didn't hear it, you dial back on our Odyssey app or go online at kdkradio.com. Really a fascinating conversation because Senator Fetterman, for those that don't know, used to be the mayor of Braddock. He's been highly controversial at times. He's gone through some tremendous physical challenges with a stroke and then depression. And here he is. He's become somebody that I think could help broker some of that bipartisan effort.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Shapiro pretty much said the same thing earlier this week as well. You know, they, going back to what Fetterman said shortly after Inauguration Day, he was elected to represent people of all parties in Pennsylvania, not just Democrats. So it's, and people elected both John Fetterman and Donald Trump from Pennsylvania. So it's important, he feels, to, for them to be able to work together. Though, you know, there are a lot of people who feel a sense of betrayal with John Fetterman as well.
But strictly, if it was strictly because he met with the president, you know, that if that in and of itself, just to hear what he had to say, and the two apparently had a, I would say, a discussion that could prove fruitful for everybody down the road. Hopefully that's the case. Meanwhile, investigation into the legendary actor Gene Hackman's death, along with his wife and their family dog, something just doesn't add up.
Right. I mean, going back to what we were probably saying right at the same moment yesterday, what does no signs of foul play, which is what the initial statement from the sheriff's office there said, what exactly does that mean? Because now there are reports that, what, I saw something yesterday that they said they had been, their bodies were mummified, right?
Well, and then we had a report that they had been out to dinner together and seen in public the night before.
Yeah.
So this is what happens, obviously, when a story like this breaks.
But
and
it doesn't
then,
make sense that they would be doing a safety check on them either if they had been out the night before.
Right. To your point, yesterday, you usually don't do a safety check within the context of 12 to 18 hours as opposed to day. So still, the cause of death is not known. The officials who are investigating this in Santa Fe, New Mexico, deemed, quote, suspicious enough to warrant a very thorough investigation. The pair didn't have any external trauma. There was no immediate signs of foul play. According to preliminary autopsy and officials, note there was no immediate signs of a carbon monoxide or natural gas leak. The couple's bodies found in separate rooms in the home with scattered pills found next to his wife, Betsy. Hackman, 95, and considered to be one of the great actors of all time, had retired from, active duty. So, active duty from acting.
And it's odd that we haven't learned much, or have we? I haven't seen anything, but what type of pills those were, because that should be something that investigators would be able to identify fairly quickly.
Well, police responded to a call. They discovered his wife, Betsy's body first on the ground inside a bathroom next to an orange prescription pill bottle with scattered pills on the floor, according to an affidavit. The body showed obvious signs of death, body decomposition.
Yeah, so, I mean, that would have taken
bloating in her face and mummification in her hands and feet. So to your point, it sounds like the original story of them being seen in public was just not accurate.
But again, just painting the visual picture of what you just, how you just described that, it would sound as though she died while she was holding the pills, not that she had taken the pills and later died from them. If they were scattered, if she was holding the prescription bottle and the pills were lying next to her, that just seems like, that's the time of death. That just happened to be what she was doing when she died, it would seem.
Well, the investigation obviously continues. And then I'm sure they will memorialize Gene Hackman Sunday night, the 97th Annual Academy Awards. Yeah, one of the features they do every year is recognize in memoriam people in the industry who have passed in the last year. And it always surprises me, because there's always a few names in there and you go,
you didn't realize
that. You know their work, but you didn't necessarily know they had passed. And I'm sure they will recognize Gene Hackman for the great work he had done for 5 decades. The Odyssey app, take us with you wherever you go, and we'll keep you posted on breaking news, weather information, high school basketball. Today, of course, 3 games the afternoon, actually. And our team does a tremendous job. We got more championship games. Keep it on KDKA. I really appreciate, Aaron, that we do this, because it's a great tie-in. And it gives a spotlight on the local basketball and, of course, in the fall football and our Friday night lights and covering all these championship games. A lot of fun.
Yeah, there's so much talent at the high school level before you even get to college. So I think it's amazing that we highlight it and bring it to people.
Yeah, impressed with our team's efforts. So if you get a chance, it's just fun to listen. So if you're driving around, you get an opportunity to check out our high school basketball coverage. The stir yesterday, I don't know if you're aware, when we told the story about this Chinese funeral home that serves noodles.
Yes.
A lot of people, believe it or not, I don't know why, asked, are you allowed to serve food at a funeral home? We reached out to a local funeral director, Frank Perman, who's got a lot of experience, and he said that it's not proper to have like a buffet in a funeral home, but you can bring food in. It just can't be in the same room as the departed, which makes sense, right?
Right.
What else is happening? Sicily just held their annual cheese throwing competition.
Oh my goodness.
They've been doing this since the 1600s. Basically, you start at the top of a hill and a chunk of a 20 of Italian cheese, and you just throw it as hard as you can. And the one that rolls the far number of throws wins. And guess what they get?
What's the prize?
They get to keep the cheese after it's been rolled around all over the place.
How long do you think that roll of cheese would last them? Do you have a picture of it?
Yeah, it's a wheel. Think of a 25-pound wheel of cheese. That's what you're looking at.
All right.
All right. Did you ever see the movie Forrest Gump?
Absolutely. Of course.
I'm Forrest Gump.
You never know what you're going to get.
Mama always said, life is like a box of chocolates. Mm-hmm. Well, Hollywood set designer lost his home in the California wildfires, but one times that he had the bench from Forrest Gump in his backyard since 1994, which was one of three made for the movie. His home didn't make it in Palisades, and he also lost his Oscars and over 1,000 other movie props, but he says the bench survived the fire. It's
wow.
The one thing
that's
that
so
survived.
Interesting, of all things. Losing the Oscars would have been a stab in the chest.
That's one of those movies that comes on no matter when it shows up.
I think I told you this once, but as I got older and I watched it again, I thought, oh my gosh, this movie's genius because they make this guy's life magnificent. Like, he experienced insane things.
It was so clever the way they put it together.
It was perfect. Just so happened to be there.
One end of the Vietnam.
Yes, and he goes back.
He's introducing the platoon, you know, where they're from. That's a great film.
Yes,
a timeless
really
movie.
Good.
California, that's going to be the focal point Sunday night, the 97th Annual Academy Awards, hosted by Conan O'Brien. And they rolled out the red carpet. That was a ceremonial thing they did yesterday. And did you know, California, a lot of strange things happen there.
Doesn't surprise me one bit.
A California aeronautics firm created the first flying car that you can actually buy.
I saw footage.
Did you see this?
Yes, but I questioned. I was like, is this real?
$300,000. You can get payments, by the way. The company says the car, which is electric, can fly 110 miles and can be parked in any garage or parking space. It can take off and land vertically. And obviously, you can avoid rush hour traffic. Now,
it looks like one of those Elon Musk cars, didn't it? It just looked like a weird, yeah.
Well,
can't even describe it.
Can you imagine? Let's be honest. You see people on their phones in a car. You see people driving, weaving in and out, crazy. That's all you need is people now to be able to fly their cars.
Right, air traffic.
That's where Ellen comes in. Oh, welcome to the weekend. I'm Larry Richard. Yesterday, passionate conversation Marty Griffin had with United States Congressman Chris DeLuzio, and an important one. And I wanted to have an opportunity to follow up first with that conversation. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Great to be on with you.
It's important that people understand that you are a proud Navy veteran. And when it comes to protecting veterans, that's something that's very personal and close to your heart, right, sir?
It is. And look, I think you ask the good people I represent and you ask people over the country, they expect us to take care of the people we sent off to war who were willing to serve in peace or war. They want the VA funded. They want to have good care and benefits for veterans. And so I've seen these efforts in the Trump administration, I mean, to fire more than 2,000 VA workers, to cancel contracts for things like cancer research and helping veterans, you know, prove their claims for burn pit exposure, for instance. I can go on and on. I think it's a betrayal. And I will tell you, I'm a guy, I believe deeply in fiscal responsibility. You don't do that on the backs of veterans. There are plenty of opportunities to both put our country on a better fiscal footing, to deal with out of control spending at, say, the Pentagon, to deal with the fact that big corporations don't pay the normal amount of taxes they've paid. But you do not go after veterans care. You do not go after the very people who you asked to go serve this country. And it's something I'm fired up about, and I'm going to fight as hard as I can to protect it.
How do you navigate all of this, Congressman? I mean, there's been so many executive orders with the DOGE and the cuts, and there is some suggesting, well, they're just going to put it out there and take as much out. And I think we all agree, yeah, we want to cut the waste, cut the fat. 100% agree with that. But in the process, it seems like a lot of innocent people, to your point, in particular, veterans are getting hurt by this. What do you do?
Well, number one, we have to make it clear when they are hurting folks that that's exactly what's going on, when they're doing things that are going at the heart of our government, delivering the mail, caring for veterans, keeping us safe at the airports, on the border, you name it. We've got to make sure that people know the impacts of what the administration's doing when they're taking, frankly, reckless action. And back to that question of fiscal responsibility, it's an important one, right? My constituents expect us to look at what the government takes in, what we spend, and not be saddling us with debt. And I'll tell you, Larry, we voted this week on a Republican budget proposal that would have added trillions to our deficit, saddling us with debt. And that proposal looked to cut hundreds of billions of dollars from healthcare, all to funnel tax giveaways to huge corporations and the richest people who've ever walked the planet. The good people I represent, they could use a tax cut. That's what I'm about. They could use some more fiscal responsibility. They don't want this. And I think it ties into exactly what you've asked about around these kind of crazy efforts to gut things like the VA. Because frankly, what I'm seeing the president and the Republicans in Congress, who I have to work with, what I'm seeing them do, they don't want to deal with the real fiscal problems of things like waste at the Pentagon, how low the taxes are for big outsourcing corporations and billionaires. That's how we deal with fiscal responsibility in this country.
We're with Chris DeLuzio, United States Congressman. I'm curious, if you have conversations across the aisle, which I know you do, and they silently may suggest, hey, Chris, we're working on this, but it doesn't seem like, you know, there were one vote shy in the balance of power in the House and Senate, too. It seems like somebody's got to stand up at some point on some of these issues on both sides, but you're going to need the help of somebody across the aisle to do it.
Well, look, I think that's the reality of pretty closely divided government. But then again, my Republican counterparts are in control of the Senate, the House, and the White House. And they are going down this path without any meaningful work with Democrats. There's a risk they'll shut the government down in a week or two. And we have a government funding deadline on March 14th that could really hurt a lot of people if there's a shutdown. And even on this budget proposal I just talked about, where they're looking to cut hundreds of billions of dollars from healthcare, Medicaid cuts. I've heard plenty of my Republican counterparts, I guess, express concerns there. Their constituents are pretty mad, as are mine, that this might happen. And yet they're not standing up and saying no. I think that's a failure. And they've got to step up and work with Democrats to actually do something that's responsible for our government, to get us out of this cycle of deficit spending and debt. But they're doubling down. And then they're looking to add, again, trillions to the deficit that we're all going to pay for generations.
And the big question for a lot of people is my Social Security future safe? And that's part of the conversation.
Yeah.
And what do you recommend? People reach out to their elected officials and express their opinions? Does that actually help?
Well, for a representative like me, it does. I know people in both parties really care when they hear from their constituents. I absolutely encourage people to do it. Having things like town hall events and making sure you're calling into offices, it matters on Social Security, especially. I mean, my goodness, I support legislation to strengthen Social Security, put it on a stronger fiscal footing for the next generation. But these cuts that you asked about at the beginning, the Trump administration and President Trump are looking to cut a lot of staff at the Social Security administration itself, which we all know if they do that, they are going to mess with people coming on to Social Security. It will make the administration of Social Security worse and can really hurt a lot of seniors who worked hard to earn their Social Security benefits. These are benefits you earn after a lifetime of work. That's part of the American dream to me.
And this deadline, we've heard these we're going to run out of money unless, you know, this goes, you know, every 6 months we hear about this. It never really truly happens, but it might this time, right?
It might. And again, I am ready to do my duty to make sure that our government is funded, that we meet our obligations. But again, my Republican counterparts are not working with Democrats here. They are going down a dangerous path on their own, willing to shut the government down, I guess, which could really hurt people. It hurt the standing of the United States. And I think people across the parties in Western Pennsylvania want our government to work, to deliver basic services, and to be fiscally responsible. And that's what ought to be happening in Washington, not what I'm seeing right now.
Congressman, appreciate your time and the follow-up. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Larry.
Congressman Chris DeLuzio on the Big K Morning Show. This afternoon, listen for The Drive at 5. Top stories driving the news every weekday afternoon with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. A lot of people coming down with colds, flu, COVID, RSV, walking pneumonia. And I know that a lot of people, we've been dealing with it here. I mean, people are coming and going. And Aaron, I know, I'm sure you've talked to family members who've had this flu, type A flu. There's an A out there. There's
right. There's strains.
Right. And what's, I didn't know, but I saw, you know how you had the COVID tests? And it would put the little bar on there to see. Now they have one that also can differentiate between the flu strains. A testing kit.
Which, how interesting is that? I remember when COVID first broke out, and I'm talking to people, and they're like, maybe I had like 45% COVID. Maybe I had 86% COVID. You know, the level of, did you fully lose your taste? Did you lose your smell?
Right. And did you have a fever? That's a key.
Right. So with the flu, it's like, did you have the chills?
And now they're talking about the measles outbreak, particularly in Texas, but around the country. They had the first documented death due to measles, which is the first in a decade. And so the subject of our health system, our health care, and the vaccines in particular have been in the spotlight.
So central right now.
And so important that people really pay close attention to what's going on. Because, again, the measles, you know, coming back, you thought that was a thing of the past.
Yeah, I can't tell you the last time I heard anything about the measles.
Right. So we're going to get more on that. And coming up, we're going to talk to now retired political analyst John Delano, who was just awarded something very special. And we'll share that coming up.